الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الأخلاء يومئذ بعضهم لبعض عدو إلا المتقين صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسول النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين الحمد لله رب العالمين. Beloved elders and brothers, we're going to be listening to talks throughout the day. From yesterday we started. Two important points is that we should try and take notes, like our brother sitting and taking notes. Because otherwise, we'll just listen, we'll have a good feeling, and after that it's finished. It's like they give examples, like you have a hot shower, the hot water comes over onto the body, after it, it's gone. So take down some notes. And as you take notes, then you can go through them, read them again later. Because at the moment when you're listening, you think you'll never forget it. But afterwards when you walk out the door, you ask someone, what is was the talk about? Look at example when Hazrat speaks. Sometimes he asks us over, where did he stop? Most of us can't answer. Where was the subject matter? So take down some notes. And the second thing is, once you've taken out those notes down, then read over them. Go home, share them with the family. Hazrat had always given the prescription that when you learn something, Hazrat Hakim Akhtar Rahmatullah Alayhi would say that, share it with 10 people. Once you've heard something, share it with 10 people, and when you share it with those 10 people, you will never forget it, and they will remind you to do it also. And the second thing is, while we're listening here, I'm the second speaker, there's another one coming, fourth one, at least over your meal that you're going to have afterwards, little while afterwards, what did interest you in the talk, what caught your mind, and share those ideas, rehearse with one another, what was the talk about. Inshallah, this will prove to be very beneficial, and Allah will give us tawfiq to make amal, inshallah. Beloved brothers, Allah has sent us here to chosen us. Everybody, hundreds, how many, what is the population of South Africa? There's so many other people in the country, all doing their own thing, in their work, their business, and their family. Allah's extreme kindness that He's allowed us to come in out of some worry and concern for our akhirat. Allah has allowed us, so we should be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should make shukr from our heart. In our heart, say, Ya Allah, I thank you. I thank you for that opportunity to get a chance to make my islah and get your muhabbat. And from that I would like to just discuss a few points from the talks and discourses of our beloved Hazrat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to take work from him and continue keeping him on the Sirat al-Mustaqim, guiding us as a guiding star throughout these difficult times. On one occasion, Hazrat mentioned, you know, about Fadail al-Sadaqat, Fadail al-Amal. We mentioned that this is like the encyclopedia of this time. We should revert to these two books all the time. And read them thoroughly, you know, study them, make mutala of them, read them to your family. In there we'll find answers. And this will be impetus to guide us to the Quran. When we read this, a lot of people ask us, why are you reading Fadaila so much? Why don't you read the Quran? When you read the Fadaila Amal, this will open up the door for you to start reading the Quran Sharif. This will, you know, be encouragement for us to fall in love with the Quran and make the understand what how great the Quran Sharif is. In there is a story in Fadail al-Sadaqat. Fadail al-Sadaqat is one unique quality. A lot of people think Fadail al-Sadaqat is only got to do with Sadaqah. No. In the second part of Fadail al-Sadaqat is a very, very important section which talks about the disinclination a person should have for this worldly life and preparation for Akhirat. We should all, it is almost like a must to read the second part of Fadail al-Sadaqat. If you don't read that and you pass your life, it is as if you have not understood why you have been sent to this world and what Allah has kept in store for you in Akhirat. Just by way of example, I always thought myself, firstly, before I read that, I thought that, you know, to be wealthy and give sadaqah is a great thing and it's so virtuous. But from after reading Fadail al-Sadaqah, the second part, in there you read what Hazrat Sheikh has written, is that it's actually better to not have anything and be just an abid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Far greater than that. Which shows that our mindset will change when we read the second part of Fadail al-Sadaqah. Especially from Hadith 8 onwards, section D of Fadail al-Sadaqah. We'll all try and do this inshallah. In there is one story, which Hazrat Sheikh brings of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was traveling somewhere, and he found a group of people, and he found these people that they became very weak. So he asked them that, what's the matter? Why are you so weak? So they said, no, our worry and our concern for Jahannam, our fear for Jahannam is making us so weak. So Isa alayhi salatu wasalam congratulated them and said, MashaAllah, very good. That is, you know, we all should be worried about what our fate will be. What's going to be our end result if we're going either, you know, in a hadith it comes that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes a qasam and says that wallahi there's either one of two things, there's either Jannat or Jahannam. You're going to be in either one of those two places. Allah make us from the Ahlul Jannah. So he said, MashaAllah, congratulations. He then goes a little bit further. As he's going a little further, he finds there is another group of people. They're even more weak than the first group. So he asked that, what's going on? What's the matter with you people? Why are you people so weak? So they explain now that our excitement and enthusiasm for Jannah is making us even more weak than that first group. Because our excitement for Jannah, our excitement and enthusiasm, what Allah is keeping us, no, I will leave. This looks nice for me. It looks outwardly like it's good for me. But I'll leave it. What Allah has kept in store for me for there is much better. So I asked Hazrat Wala Rahmatullah wa Ra'ah, once on one occasion, how as youngsters, we young boys, we got desire for world, we got desire for nice car, desire for nice house, desire for all to be wealthy, all of those things. Everyone, I don't know, maybe you people are buzruks, you don't have that, but myself, we got all these desires. So what should we do? And as I said, simple, take it and change it. Instead of wanting it here, say, Allah, give it to me in Akhirat. Give it to me in Jannah. So they abstained from food, and they were even weaker than the first group. They were even weaker than the first group because they had excitement for Jannah. Then Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam walked on a little further, and he found another group of people. And when he found this group of people, they were even in a weaker, a more feeble condition than the first group and the second group. In a more pitiable condition. He said, Ya Allah, what is going on here? What's the issue with them? Then they said that we have abstained from eating and we don't eat. So he asked, what's the cause? What's the reason behind this? And the answer they gave that you and I should take to heart. They said, it is the love of Allah that has caused us. It is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Isa alayhi salatu wasalam said, You are the special one. You are the special one. And that's what our Hazrat and all the other mashayikh are trying to teach us. That there is something like the love of Allah. There's something like when love enters in the heart, then that drives a person in that direction. It drives a person madly insane in that direction. He will not look at any bounds, he will not look at any restrictions, but it will be the driving force of taking him towards Allah. It will not, like Hazrat said last night, that what's one of the signs of Allah showering his favors upon us? And I ask myself, do we have that? You should ask yourself, I ask myself, do we have that? That when it comes time of salah and comes time of tahajjud, is it a burden or do we look forward to it? Do we, when we open the Quran Sharif and we're sitting with it, is it a moment? Just take a second now and ask yourself that question. When you're opening the Quran Sharif and you're sitting with it, is it a moment and say that this is a moment which is the highlight of my day. It is the highlight of my day. It's the most special moment of my day. I'm sitting with the Kalam, the book of my Allah. It is from Allah. It is from the Zat of Allah. I've got it and I'm reading from that. Does it feel within you? And as it mentions, if your Salat, your Quran, your good Amal is bring that excitement, bring that joy, then it's a sign that Allah is showering His favors upon you. It's a sign that the love of Allah is coming into your life. So Hazrat gave a talk recently and he mentioned few of the prescriptions to get the mahabbat of Allah. To get the mahabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I'll just go through them very briefly, what we remember, and may I ask for much more which Hazrat expounds always, but the few that we remember and we hope that we take it to heart inshallah. The first one, as I mentioned, is that we should send abundant salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the first one. And like how Hazrat's examples are so apt, when you sit in the company of the mashayikh, they, you know, translate everything into such easy, simple terminologies. The examples put everything into perspective. Like we are a little few here, when we want to explain our families, our children, our people in our community, use these examples that has been explained and emphasized by way of examples, then the people can understand the things. So as it's explained, like how you have a fire has the property of what? It will burn. If you have something which is cold, automatically ice is cold. You won't find hot ice. That is the natural property. He said that the natural quality which will happen, or characteristics when a person reads abundant salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is that the lazim which will definitely take place, what will happen is love of sunnahs will come into one's life. The love of sunnahs will come into one's life. Sometimes because of society, sometimes because of pressure, sometimes because of community where you're living, it might be very awkward. But when you start to increase upon your salawat ala nabi, then automatically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will feel the love of sunnah in your life. The love of sunnah will come automatically in your life. And you will see a natural disinclination to the way of the disbelievers. How they do things, how they carry on, what they live for, will automatically become disliked to you. And you, not that you're looking down upon the person, but the way of their lifestyle you look down upon. And automatically when we start carrying out on the sunnah, when we bring a sunnah into our life, what happens then? Yuhbibkumullah. Our topic is the mahabbat of Allah. When you send abundant salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the automatic reaction is what happens? Sunnah comes alive. And when the sunnah comes alive, what happens? Yuhbibkumullah. Allah will start loving you. You know, Allah says that Wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin. Allah loves the ones who do good actions. Now we only do things for Allah because out of obligation. I go to work because I have to earn. Otherwise, if I don't work that day, then I'm not going to have any salary. If I don't have any salary, I won't be able to provide for my family, and I'll be in a problem. But that should not be the relationship we have with Allah. Allah is telling us that Wallah, Allah loves those who do good. Those who do above good, and those who go the extra mile, Allah loves that person. Why is it not that we don't have this love? And as it mentions many times, it says we don't have this idea or out of idea that there's something like the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah bless it with us and then make us, give us the ability and give us the tawfiq. Let us take it to heart and say this, from this day, for example, after every salah, I have my dedicated time in the morning for salawat ala nabi, durood. But after every salah, I'm going to read Tasbih Fatimi. Together with Tasbih Fatimi, I will start with 5 times salawat ala nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Or 10 times durood. And make it your habit and then increase it and increase it. And then read it. Read it with shauq. Read it with love and affection. Read it thinking that you are in Madinatul Munawwara. I will give you the example that you don't have to worry about 2 tickets. Know this, you're sitting in front of the Rawda of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you're reading that salawat. See how sunnah will become the most beloved thing. Whether your whole family turn against you, or whoever turns against you, it will be the most dear thing to you. And Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. The second thing, as it mentions in his talk, that which he mentioned last night, that you have wajabat mahabbati. We're sitting here, did anyone make niyat that in that hadith come 4 things, mutahabin, mutajalisin, mutazawirin, and lastly, the last one, mutazawirin and mutabadilin, the one who spends. Did we sit here, when we come into sit by Hazrat, and we're sitting in this majlis, and we're sitting in our programs, in our ta'aleem, and we're doing any action, does it occur to us, why am I doing this here? Do we take that time and second and split second before I perform my salah? Ya Allah, I'm making the salah because I want your mahabbat. I want your love, Allah. I want. When you read your Quran Sharif this morning, or you read your Yasin Sharif, did you take a split second after that, and take a split second and ask yourself, I read the Surah Yasin, Ya Allah, kun rabiyan bihad al-amal. Oh Allah, may this amal be a means of your pleasure. May this amal, this action be a means of your happiness. May it be a means of your happiness. So when you're reading that, when you come into search for this, Allah Ta'ala is promising that you're sitting, that you're mutajalisin. I'm sitting here, Allah. I'm not coming for no other reason. In fact, the ulama explained that when Jummah khutbah takes place, then you should come as closest to the mimbar. You should come closest to the mimbar. Why? Because they say that that person who comes closest to the mimbar where the talk is being given, inshallah, on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah, he will be the closest to Allah also. And they say that we are coming closest to the member, not just for the speaker. We're coming closest to the member because for Allah it is the command of Allah. That that you should keep quiet, come closer to the member. Now, similarly, when we're coming for this program, are we making this intention? I'm coming for the pleasure of Allah. I'm sitting here. My own sole objective is not to go away from the family or have a break or just come in here to discourse. I'm here to get the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That I'm sitting here, mutahabina, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm sitting, and then I'm visiting for the pleasure of Allah. I'm going to visit the sick. I'm working in my business. Why am I working? For the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when I'm spending on the mashayikh. I'm taking out money. A lot of times, we give charity because of the benefit. The benefit of charity, that as-sadaqatu tutfi'u ghadaba rabbi. That sadaqah proves the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As-sadaqatu tadafa'u al-bala. As-sadaqah also drives away calamities. So we're saying, when we're traveling, we will definitely tell our friends and those around us, you're traveling on a journey. Give some sadaqah. Give some sadaqah automatically. And wallah, sadaqah is something which works instantaneously. Even if you just give yourself a sadaqah. And like, you know, we mankind, we like to hear stories. The more you hear stories, the more you get enthused by that day. Like we heard the story of Salawat al-Nabi, Allah make it, of yesterday, that person read 1,000 times. Who's going to take it to heart? Who's going to, you know, have the conviction in heart? Now, one time I asked Hazrat, all the prescriptions you're giving us, it's so easy. It makes it sound so easy, Hazrat. Like all we have to do is just make zikr, and for us it seems so difficult. We toil and we go to shop, we work and we exert ourselves. But Hazrat, you make it sound so easy for us. So Hazrat just looked up at me and he told me, but it is so easy. It is so easy. It's just that you and I are not taking it to heart. We're not taking it really to heart. And we don't have that firm yakin like Mufti Imran is speaking. That conviction of that is not there. So the salawat which we heard last night, let us bring it and see how Allah will do for us. See how Allah will help us. And wallah, when Allah helps us at the time when we turn to Him, there is nothing more sweeter in life when Allah helps us. When you think that you turn to Allah and Allah helped you, there is nothing that can be more sweeter than that. Sadaqah helps instantly. Once we were at the border crossing and they were troubling. They were troubling us. So while they were troubling us, waiting for our one cousin, not allowing to go through. So we're waiting. And one person, one of the officials, they said, where's the biscuits you will usually give out? So I ran up to the vehicle quickly and I went and I fetched the biscuits. I gave the biscuits. The moment I just gave the biscuits, automatically they just let us through. Like within a second. What I was saying that, subhanAllah, I didn't deal with the need of anything wrong. I just said, he was asking us for something at the sadaqah. Instantaneously, I saw how sadaqah helps at that instant moment. Let us take it to heart that we were coming to the story that even surfacely, we give the sadaqah, the benefit is there. But let us now say that I'm going to give sadaqah to someone, not because he's a burden, or so to say, we say in Afrikaans, he's a lust force or so. No, I'm giving sadaqah because I want Allah to become happy. One Arab sheikh told me very nicely, he says that, why is it such that when a customer walks into the shop, then we become extremely happy. What we become? Very happy. But when a person asking a beggar walks in the shop, we become enraged and angered. He said, that customer is going to benefit your world. He's going to benefit your world. That beggar, when you give him, he's going to benefit your everlasting life of akhirah. And then add to it. Ya Allah, I did not give him this because I wanted to give him or because he asked him. I'm giving it because I want you to become happy. And then like Hazrat has been emphasizing over and over that خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّهِمْ, that you give sadaqah with a niyat, I want Allah's pleasure, Allah must purify me. All that vile character and all of the vicious things or evil ways and bad habits, Allah will purify by giving us that sadaqah. Allah make us to take it heart to heart, that wajabat mahabbati, that we set for Allah's pleasure, we spend for Allah's pleasure, we give to the hanka, we give to the madrasas, we give to the poor, we help, wherever the occasion is that we can help, we give it for the pleasure of Allah. And see how Allah will help us. How Allah's unseen hand and divine hand will be with us there all the time. Another hadith to get the love. The first point was durood. Second, that correcting our niyat, wajabat mahabbat. We're doing this. We're sitting for Allah's pleasure. We're doing. Another one is that to get the sweetest of iman and the mahabbat of Allah is to love for the pleasure of Allah. It is to love someone solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah and His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the most dear to you. And you prefer, you hate going to kufr You hate going to kufr, like some of the hadith. You hate going to kufr like our person hates to be burnt in the fire. And the third point there is that you love someone for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I love this person. I'm meeting this youngster. I'm meeting this adult. I'm helping this person. I'm sitting by my sheikh. My purpose here is only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing. I want Allah to become happy. As I mentioned again last night, don't we think, make our dhikr. And when you make your dhikr, as I mentioned, to say that once you're making your dhikr, think of that virtue that Allah is boasting on me. Did we make our dhikr this morning? And while we were making that dhikr, I'm asking myself, I'm most short, may Allah give me the reality of the matter, that I'm most shortfall of it in myself, most deficient myself. That when we were making that dhikr, did we think for a split second that my Allah is taking my name, He's boasting about me. And we think of our faults that Hazrat also mentioned. So, solely for the pleasure of Allah, we're coming here solely for the pleasure of Allah. And that is the verse I've recited. That when we take our Sheikh to heart, and we love him, and we put our souls in their souls, whatever they say, we listen, whether we understand it, whether we agree with it, whether it is according to our temperament or not. If we got confidence that this man is a man of Allah, this person is a man of Allah, and he's going to lead me to Allah, then stop, close your thinking caps, and just put yourself in his shoes, and let him be your guide, and follow what he says, whether it makes sense to you or not. And do it for the pleasure of Allah. And then Mufti Shafi Saab writes under this verse, that every friendship which you took a lot of pride in this world, will be a source of regret on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah, except for what? إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ. Every friendship will be a source of difficulty, lament. But those, when you had a friendship of taqwa, a friendship of the love of Allah, guiding you towards Allah, and the Mufti Shafi Saab on authority of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu explains that there will be two friends on the day of Yawm Qiyamah, two sets of friends. One who are good friends and one who are bad friends. And the two good friends, under this verse is written, that the two good friends, when they meet each other, the one was advising the other one. And the other one was being advised, he passes on first. The one who was being advised, he was on the receiving end, he passes on first. And after he passes on, Allah gives him glad tidings of paradise. Allah gives him glad tidings of Jannah. And when he sees these bounties, these favors, Allah makes us realize that what he has for us is far greater than what in this world. So he then he supplicates in his favor. May Allah make it that if we pass on before our Sheikh, then we make these du'as for our Sheikh and for our friends who invite us in the right way and for our parents and our ustad. He then speaks to Allah. He makes a du'a in this person's favor. He said, Ya Allah, this person would advise me all the time that he should obey you and obey your Rasul. And you would encourage me all the time to do virtuous deeds. He would encourage me all the time, do virtuous deeds, do good deeds. It will benefit you. It will sort out all your worldly affairs. And stay away from evil things. Because this is, stay away from vices. And then he would remind him, he said, this person supplicated, he said, Oh Allah, this person would repeatedly remind me that I'm going to have to meet you one day. I'm going to have to stand before you one day. So then, he makes this dua. Oh Allah, allow this to happen so that Oh Allah, do not misguide him after me. I've left. I'm still in the world because he knows that you can slip at him. Don't allow him to become misguided after me. And let him come on this so that he can also enjoy these bounties, these ni'mat of Jannah which you have showed me, so that he can also enjoy it. And then it is said to him that, do not worry. The voice then tells him, do not worry. If you knew what Allah has kept in store for your friend, if you knew what Allah has kept in store for your friend, you would cry less for him and you would laugh more for him. What Allah has in store for him. And then it is stated that after he passes on, the friend who was advising, who was worrying, his concern was akhirat. His concern wasn't this world. His concern was that how this man is also going to become a lover of Allah, a ashiq of Allah. The world is heading in one direction. We are heading direction in that the whole world can be this unhappy. The whole world can be denouncing. But we know we're going in the right direction. We are happy with Allah. Everybody is unhappy. But Allah is happy. What do I have to worry? And then it will be said to him that after the Safrin was advising, that he will then come before, he will also die, and then Allah will announce to him that now go meet your friend. And then the two of people must meet each other. Imagine what a scene it will be. Ya Allah, Allah make us see the reality of that day. And make us imbibe it, the reality of it open up in our heart. That we picture these things, what a day it is. What a day it will be when we see the realities of Akhirat will open up. Ya Ibadi, Allah says, Ya Ibadi, La khawfun alaykum ul-yawm wa la tahzanun. That, oh my servants, there will be no hope for you, there will be no worry for you. There'll be no concern for you. There'll be no worry and grief for you. That now you can enter Jannah. Udkhul Jannah antum wa azwajukum tuhbarun. Enter Jannah, my servant. Allah is addressing his servant. Oh, my servant, enter Jannah. You and your spouses. And in what a way? Delight, happiness, fetters of gold and silver, glasses. And Allah saying, Yutafu alayhim bisihafin min dhahabi wa aqwab wa fiha ma tashtayil anfus. That whatever your heart desire, you will find it there. وَتَلَدُّ الْأَعْيُنِ Whatever will pull your eyes, you will find it there. Allah make us see that reality. And then they will address each other, and they will tell each other that you are the best friend. You are? You are the best friend. You are the best companion. And you have been the best brother. And this will be the praises. They will praise each other. Unfortunately, may Allah not make us from the other group, will be the total reverse of this year. Allah give us the true reality. There's many other things that can bring us, bring the love of Allah in our life. May Allah give us a true taste of His love. Another one which Hazrat has given is that when we're eating our meal, when we're eating our meal, our du'as before the meal. And after every morsel, I remember my marhum father, rahmatullah, he traveled somewhere, Allah give him Jannatul Firdaus, with all our fathers and all marhumin. Then he met one uncle, they were in a town. And when they met this uncle, at every morsel, he was saying, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, after every morsel. And my father, then when he came back to PE, he told us that he was so touched. He said, MashaAllah, what a man I mean. He's a Allah wala. When, we don't want it for the people's praises, but when we're going to take that look, mine, oh Allah, not deserving of this year. Alhamdulillah, Allahumma laka alhamdulillah, laka shukr. I didn't deserve this year. You made all this arrangement. Hazrat has been crying, Hazrat has been emphasizing what sacrifices, traveling town to town, area to area. At this age, which we, you know, when we travel, we can't even imagine how does Hazrat manage. But Hazrat making a sacrifice so that the love of Allah can come into our life. That we can understand what's our purpose of the time. Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. Say this. And then Hazrat mentioned also that when you're reading in between, it says, Ya wajidu jalla jalaluhu. Ya wajidu jalla jalaluhu. If you say these words while you are eating, then this will be spiritual food. It will now encourage the soul. The soul will start be inclining, the soul will feel like it will push you to make you do good. Automatically, the soul, like how shaitan, you know, incites you to do evil, the soul will be now driving you to good actions. Look for opportunities. Where can I not increase? You are enthusiastic, you are thirsty about this. Another prescription has given us is that when you wake up in the morning, just saying, Alhamdulillahilladhi, reading this dua word, after you have slept, I slept a long night, I rested nicely, and you're saying, Alhamdulillahilladhi, أحيانا بعدما أماتنا وإليه النشور. Hazrat mentioned, if you read this with feeling, read this dua with feeling, you can become a lover of Allah. The muhabbat of Allah can enter your heart by just reading that dua in the morning with feeling. That after the sleep, after the sister of death, Allah is giving you life again. And lastly, Hazrat said that you must go to the buzurugs, go sit in their company, sit in the Allah. And he says, if you live in some remote village which you hardly find today, maybe you're in the Amazon jungle or somewhere there, my time is up. But let's just end on this one story after that, inshallah, is that even if you live in the Amazon jungle or there, but there's a muazzin in the town. There's no buzurug there, but there's a muazzin in the town, and he's calling the adhan. Then Hazrat mentioned, go even sit by the muazzin in his company, Allah will put his love for you in your heart. Because he is the man who's calling people to Allah. Imagine what Allah has made. Like, you know, when you're hungry, there's so many ways. There are so many ways to fill your stomach. You can eat rice, you can eat tarkari, you can eat steak, you can eat pap, whatever you want to eat, you can eat. It will fill. For the good and love of Allah, there's so many different ways. It is for us to take it to heart, bring it into our life. And really, the true lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their hearts, alive in this world, and their hearts are also alive in the Akhirat. I'll give a story to you know, to illustrate that. But before we come here, to just repeat the things that we have said, is the one is to bring the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alive. The second thing is to sit in the company majalis of these awliya Allah for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In turn of that, when you're sitting and your niyat is correct, then Allah will give you His muhabbat from His side. Allah will make jazb. Allah will pull your heart. Allah, and what is it? Our actions can't really do anything. After you finish your action, our elders are such, they teach us that, Ya Allah, my dhikr couldn't do, my salah couldn't do, that wasta that I supposed to do, that means of salah, couldn't even do. But Allah, from your side, you pull us from your side. Like which the hadith says, Khudna binawa sina, oh Allah, pull us by our forelocks, drag us towards you, Ya Allah. And the third thing is, that you must have love for Allah and His Rasul more than everything else. Love your brother solely for the pleasure of Allah. And the third thing here is that we must hate going to back to kufr. Fourth thing we mentioned, that after every luqma, that we say, Allahumma lakal hamd wa lakal shukr, alhamdulillah. It comes in the hadith that person who makes shukr, or says alhamdulillah after eating, then Allah becomes pleased with that person. And the fifth one we mentioned, to read the dua when you're waking up with feeling. And the last one, if you sit in the company of the muadzin, that man is calling people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your heart will stay alive. To end of coming back to the initial comments we made was, of fadail sadaqat, fadail amal, Allah ta'ala make us to take it to heart, to read these books, make ta'alim of them in the homes. When we make ta'alim of this, yaqeen will come about, love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come about, shaitan will leave the home, angels will come in the home, the qualities of angels will come in about us. Sheikh Abu Ali Rudabari says on one occasion, the stories that the Sheikh has written there is so ajeeb, it's so ajeeb. I'm really appealing, read those stories. It is so ajeeb and so moving. Read those stories. You can't just imagine that there were really individuals in this world like this here. Like another world that they were living in. And he says in the story, he says there that on one occasion, a day of Eid, a poor man, ragged, came into the house and he said, is there any clean or neat place here where a person can meet his death? So Sheikh Ali Rudabari rahmatullah alayhi says, I told him, come in, no problem. I thought, you know, I didn't take much sense of what he's saying because I thought he's talking nonsense. Who says such a thing? Is there any neat place where a person can meet his death? So then he allowed him in, he sat down. The person entered. Sheikh Ali says that, I was unconcerned because I said, you can go give up your soul wherever you find a nice place. So this person then came in, and after he entered, he then performed wudu. After performing wudu, he observed few rakats of salah. After performing few rakats of salah, he then laid down and he gave up his soul. What a man! There were legends like this in our history. Read our history. Take it to heart. And then Sheikh Ali says that I then seen to the ghusl and I made a burial arrangement. And as I was going, this man now was traveling on a day of Eid. He's traveling somewhere. So I made all the arrangements. And as I was about to place him in the grave, I said, you know what? Let me uncover his face. Let me uncover his face. Because he's a poor man because of his poverty and that he's away so far from his family. No one knows him here. Perhaps if I uncover his face and I lay him down on his face, Allah will have mercy upon him. Sheikh Ali says that the moment I opened up his face, this person's eyes opened up. And to my surprise, I said, my Rabb, my Lord, my Sustainer, is there life after death? So this person looked up. He said, yes. There is life after death for those who truly love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who have the muhabbat of Allah. And then he said, after, by virtue of the distinction that Allah has given me of virtuous deeds, inshallah, I will intercede for you on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah. My beloved brothers, Allah ta'ala give us the reality of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let it come into the inner depths of the heart. Like Hazrat's examples are so unique, you know, he says that eventually it comes to many people. These words just reach the ears. It reaches the ears, it reaches the eyes. And then certain people, they make a little bit more effort. And then it reaches the brain. And now it's in the brain for a little while. And then some are the very few, which Allah makes us from them and make it our burning desire that we want everybody else that it must reach. That from the brain now, these words now get transferred to the heart. And how will it get transferred to the heart? In the company of the Ahlullah. Allah give us His love. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, subhanakallah, alhamdulillah, rasulullah.